This is Gohan from Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Super, and you're listening to the After Hours Nerds podcast.
I lost 12 pounds in 8 hours, buddy, so I mean...
I heard you threw up at the gas station.
No, I threw up on the way home from the gas. Like, and let me tell you something. This was the first time I ever, like, felt so disconnected from myself where I was like, oh, no, I'm going to make it home. Like, I know I'm going to throw up, but I'm going to make it home. And literally just in my arm. So I had to I was still, like, 10 minutes away from my house, and I was just... saturating in my own fucking throw.
this is the grossest thing. Thanks for tuning in to episode 96 of the After Hour Nerd Podcast, week of October 4th, 2021, the weekly podcast that covers last week's important game and nerd culture news, hosted this week by Gags.
XXXXXXXX.
Just during the intro, you had to do during the intro. Everyone can tell you're back, TA, because
welcome me back.
Nothing gets by you, all right? You know I never changed that, right? It's just there as a template choice. You piece of shit. TA, what have you been up to? It's been a while. I think a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, it's been like 3 or 4, maybe 5. But not much, you know, just working a lot. We finally got through a big wave of that. So I haven't had, like, I've kind of just been gaming in spurts. I'm still working on Xenoblade, but, like, I'm just taking my time with it just because I don't.
You're so screwed because the way JRPGs work, and you know it, unless you, like, go through it, like, immediately, you know what I mean?
No, or I know. You just kind of disconnect, and then all of a sudden you just...
Yes. If you don't finish a JRPG after a certain amount of time, that's it. It's going to no man's land, but it has nothing to do with the game's quality. It's just the time factor.
But at least, though, it has the function that will, you know, it tells you what your next goal is, so that way I'm not picking up the game and I'm like, where the fuck was I? You know what I mean? Or, like, where the hell was I going?
I think it's Dragon Quest XI, right? Every time you log back in, Remember, give you a recap of your last half hour.
I love that feature.
Every game needs to start doing that.
Yes, 100%. That should be a mandatory feature.
There are so many games I'm like 30 to 40 hours in that if I were to put in right now, I'd be like, where the fuck am I going?
Yeah, I'd be like, none of this looks familiar.
I was playing Shin Megami Tensei 3, right? Okay. I stopped playing for, I swear to God, 2 days. 2 days is all the break was. Hop back in. I was like, where the fuck am I? Where am I? Because, like, again, every word is made up in that game. Nothing, you know? Like, it's not like go to this school. It's like go to the Doji Jocken Society of what? And it's like, where the fuck? What does that even mean?
Like, I'm not Japanese, man. This is not going to.
Nothing makes sense. And it's like, is my team even good? I don't know. I have like a fairy, a blob, you know? Like, I have no idea what's going on.
I was really sick like 2 weeks ago. Or last week, I can't remember now, but it was just like a good, like probably 1/3 of my body actually died, and I decided like I had to just burn through stuff on Netflix, whatever. So I finished Sex Education season 3.
So good,
dude! It was so good, Although I'm a little worried for season 4 because I know it got confirmed, but apparently Emma Mackey might still be on the fence, the chick that plays Maeve, because I guess she. She did interviews after season 3 where she was like, I don't know if I want to keep continuing playing this character.
Write her out. I don't give a fuck. She wasn't that interesting this season anyways.
Yeah, but like, come on.
She's in America. Just have her be in America for the season.
Yeah, but you can't do that after what they did to Otis and Maeve.
You absolutely could.
Yo, but Otis and Ruby.
Well, I say it all the time. The most interesting character in that show is the bully.
Adam?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
He's like the only reason I watch that show. He's the most interesting, and he actually has like character development and interesting, fascinating story around him.
Amy's a good character, too. I she's hilarious.
None of them are bad characters. It's just he blows them all out of the water.
You really think he blows them?
Yeah. He went from the homophobic jock to... coming out of the closet and finding himself.
Yeah.
He's got the weird parent relationship. He's got quite a few things going for him that it's just like subplot after subplot that keeps hitting for him.
No, I feel that. Dude, everything about the show is great.
Yeah, it's just a well-grounded show in general. But I think it's honestly one other than Squid Games, dude. Squid Games is crazy.
Netflix top 3 shows, Sex Education is up there. Atypical is up there as well.
It's tough because The Witcher, you start going through it and it's like Stranger Things, Witcher.
Oh, dude, I just watched The Witcher for the first time.
What did I fucking say?
And you were right.
What did I fucking say?
And you were right.
Again, you know what pisses me off is I guarantee you started watching it because someone else told you to watch it.
No, I had finally just gotten out of it.
I had been telling you, I don't know how
long. No, it wasn't even like that. No, it was just because I had, like, I was in such a, like, I'm like, I've watched so much anime in the last like 4 days. I'm like, I want to watch something different.
And yeah, I want to watch real people.
And it finally, like, it kept popping up on my list, and I was like, fucking fine, whatever.
And it's dope as hell, right?
What?
And it's dope as hell.
It's dope as fuck. So like, the only problem I had for me personally, because like I had just whatever vague Witcher knowledge I know from like what I see of the games. So I'm like trying to make the connections in my head before they happen, but it's not happening. Like I'm seeing it. Like Yennefer episode one, I'm like, where the fuck is sexy bitch Yennefer that Geralt's trying to bang, you know, from Witcher 3? And I'm like, this is not making sense.
Yeah, it's, well, again,
it's, and then by episode four, I'm like, okay, it's all making sense.
Yeah, it's not even based on the games.
But it's still in like in the spirit of, you know what I mean? Well,
because it's all based on books, so they have the same. All right, let's take a short little break, and we'll get back with the news.
No,
all right, we're back with the news.
You
just plan it perfectly, okay?
Yes, I do.
And we're back with the news. Quick news of the week. Grand Theft Auto, the trilogy, the definitive edition has been rated in Korea. It's rumored to be releasing in November. We have our final Smash Bros. Character being revealed tomorrow. Last guess before it's over and we're out of date and so wrong. Who do you think it is?
Waluigi. Who do you think it is?
Waluigi. That's the meme. Sora has been trending every day since they announced this Smash Bros. Event.
Dude, I saw somebody who was like, it's going to be Tifa. And I was like, Tifa?
No, they can't do a third Final Fantasy VII character. There's no way.
Dude, but they have like 19 Fire Emblem characters. So sky's the limit. But
they're from different Fire Emblem games.
Yeah, sure. Does that matter, though? There's still 19 Fire Emblem characters.
Let's see. Monster Hunter Rise will have a Ghost and Goblin / Sonic collaboration. Monster Hunter Rise will be releasing on PC January 12th, 2022. Scarlet Nexus and Marvel's Avengers are now playable via Xbox Game Pass. Marvel's Avengers needed to go free to play a long time ago.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy VII, The First Soldier, the upcoming Battle Royale game for mobile devices from Square Enix, will be released in November. Producer Tetsuya Nomura revealed during a live stream special during the Tokyo Game Show on Sunday. Pre-registration will start later this month. Are you playing that?
No, but I'm gonna
why I'm would gonna... you need a battle royale in a Final Fantasy VII universe?
Because I mean, you know, it kind of makes sense. There's a whole bunch of guys shooting at you every 30 seconds in Final Fantasy VII, so they took down our boy Zach, so I mean, might as well control these guys, you know what I mean? Have fun killing all the other guys.
And then New World, Amazon's new MMORPG, has over 700,000 concurrent players, making this Steam's most successful debut ever. Queues of 100,000 players at time waiting to get in. Now, I don't believe it's like one queue per server. I think it's all the servers combined equal this 100,000 players.
Okay.
But that's still wild to have.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that number's true, but I've seen people post their queues of being number 10,000.
And even that's still a lot.
Right, and if it's all the servers combined at that time, I could imagine it gets to 100,000.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that sounds pretty damn successful, right? Like, you have 100,000 people waiting to play.
Dude, I wish I had three people waiting to play games with me, you know what I mean? Let alone...
And then Microsoft is now testing xCloud on Xbox game consoles with Xbox Insiders. I still think that's going to be huge, even just for the demos, not having to download the game and just straight up play it, see if you like it, and then if you like it, you don't have to waste your time downloading the game. And then first big news story of the week. This is a report. Games in works for the 4K Nintendo console that doesn't officially exist with an update. This is by Ethan Gotch on Kotaku.com. Developers at Zynga and 10 other companies are apparently working on a 4K version of Switch games. For years, reports have alleged that Nintendo is working on a more powerful Switch, and for years it has yet to come true. Instead of releasing a Switch Pro with 4K graphics this year, as was rumored, Nintendo announced in July it would simply take the current version and slap an OLED screen on it. So what happened to the long-rumored 4K version? According to Bloomberg, development kits for it still exist, and game companies have them. By the time Nintendo showed off the new console in July, the company had already handed out 4K kits to outside developers and asked them to design software to support the higher resolution. Bloomberg reported today the Nintendo Switch kit contains extra memory to accommodate debugging software and additional ports to facilitate a connection to a computer, but otherwise has similar capabilities to hardware that customers would have at home. This new information is based on accounts from employees at 11 different game companies, according to Bloomberg. One of these sources includes Zynga, who is currently developing Star Wars Hunters, a game that has been delayed until 2022. So Zynga or Zagna or whatever, they're a mobile game company. They're not like a real, I don't want to say they're not a real developer, but they're a mobile. So I don't understand they would have a 4K development kit.
Yeah.
And they're the like only one specifically listed in this report, as if it's like, oh, they're such a big company that if we just like throw their name in, they're not really going to care.
Yeah.
And then here's the update, right? Zagna has denied the report. To clarify, Zagna does not have a 4K development kit from Nintendo, a spokesperson from the company told Kotaku in an email. As a Switch developer for the upcoming Star Wars Hunters game that Zagna announced on a recent Nintendo Direct, we can confirm that none of the developer kits Zagna has or is in receipt of are 4K developer kits. Nintendo, however, disputes Bloomberg's report, calling it inaccurate. Though declined to elaborate further on specifically what was incorrect, the company did not immediately respond to a request from comment by Kotaku. Surprising, right? And then in another update, Nintendo has also issued a statement to investors denying Bloomberg's report, stating it has not supplied tools to drive game development for a Nintendo Switch with 4K support. Bloomberg and reporter Takashi Mochizuki, in particular, the author of today's article and previously with the Wall Street Journal, has been behind a number of early reports on Nintendo Switch's plans going back to shortly after the console's launch. This included early rumblings around an eventual Switch Lite and then a report that Nintendo was working on an upgraded model as well. The first time 4K was mentioned was in August 2020. Dude, we've been talking about 4K Switch since the goddamn thing released.
Oh, yeah. And people were like, yeah? And they were like, eh.
Now, here's the thing. If I was Zagna with one of these kits, and if I was Nintendo who handed out these kits, the first thing I would do is say that this thing doesn't exist.
Well, right? Yeah.
Like, the Switch OLED releases this Friday. You don't want people canceling that, thinking there's a newer, better one coming soon.
Although, I mean, you know, I don't know. There's probably some crazy people that would buy both just at least to resell. But
you're looking at one, right? Not to resell, but like if... If this thing does exist, though, it's not coming out till later next year. At the end, at least, I would assume.
Or maybe even 2 years.
Right. I honestly don't think we see this thing next year. I just think
it's really funny about how they're like, yeah, dude, ask Zynga. And Zynga's like, we've never talked to Nintendo. We've never done this. It's almost like if you were like, yeah, dude, me and Derek Carr hang out all the time. And he's like, I've never spoken to this man once before.
Not once in my life.
And you'd be like, you can't prove that, though. You can't prove it.
Well, that's the issue, too, right? Like, they specifically list this person as if, like, yes, we have...
You guys have heard Zynga, right?
This isn't proof that they actually have one. This is just them claiming they have one. And the company saying, no, we don't. They're going to be like, see? Like, a company that has one is going to say no.
You heard of a little company called Zynga?
And then they say, oh, and we know 10 other companies, but don't list them specifically. Like, that's like me and you saying, we have 2,000 listens per episode of this podcast.
I mean, do you really want us to go through that entire list? We could. We would. But do you want us to?
I grabbed some quick, like, these are just Bloomberg reports on the Nintendo Switch from this year. Yep. So March 3rd, 2021, they wrote, Nintendo plans Switch model with bigger Samsung OLED display, right?
Uh-huh.
3 weeks later, they also put, Nintendo to use faster NVIDIA chips in new 2021 Switch model. So here's the problem. The March 3rd one is accurate. The new Switch OLED model that comes out this Friday is the one that they talk about there. That does not have this faster NVIDIA chip. It has the same exact guts of the original Switch.
Just the OLED screen.
Just the OLED screen. And this report specifically puts in new 2021 Switch model. Now, May 26, 2021, we get, again from Bloomberg, Nintendo plans upgraded Switch replacement as soon as September. That gets a little dicey because technically the OLED could be seen as a upgrade.
I mean, yeah, I mean, because technically upgrade doesn't necessarily have to mean new system. It could just mean new parts, which right. technically the screen is.
The screen, well, it has a better kickstand. It has the new dock with the LAN adapter built into it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know,
upgrade. Technically that is an upgrade.
But I think they were specifically talking about the one with the chip, the better chip. Now, July 6th, Nintendo officially reveals the Switch OLED, announced with a bigger display, but no faster NVIDIA chip. So, I don't know. They've been half right, half wrong, you know? Things change. They claim specifically in the Bloomberg report that the chip shortage is a reason why the Switch Pro or Switch 4K or whatever the hell they would have called it didn't release this year. I just don't understand if it's the chip shortage. I'm pretty sure they all use the same damn chips. Why does the Switch OLED exist then?
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know how the Switch is affecting, or the chip shortage is affecting that Switch.
I don't know, man. I feel like, I don't know. Doesn't that just kind of seem odd to you?
I mean, I always have this theory. This is a tinfoil hat theory that, like, whenever news is slow, it's time to just start cranking up believable rumors.
Yeah.
And then just write source at the end. Because like you're like, oh, I'm a publication. I mean, a couple publications a couple weeks ago wrote about how their sources claimed that the Game Boy and Game Boy Color are coming to the Switch and soon, and then we got N64 and Sega Genesis. So like, I don't know, maybe your sources suck or you're just making it up, right? Like I can only go by the facts that I know.
I mean, literally, you know, well, think about it. There's thanks to social media, all you do is just go through a Twitter feed and be like, everyone going, oh, I want Nintendo 64 on the thing, and someone goes, I heard Nintendo 64 is coming to the thing.
Fucking sources could be 4chan or goddamn WikiLeaks, you know?
It's
like
Reddit. It's just going through a Reddit feed.
That's my uncle works at Nintendo.
A guy I know whose cousin's uncle's brother told me for sure.
Yeah. Well, so everyone's bringing up, so this is a true story. So on...
That your friend told you.
Yeah. No. This is, so in 2006... there was a report posted about how a Nintendo DS successor was coming. So on January 25th, 2006, Nintendo officially announced that there would be no DS revision and there is no DS revision in the works. On January 26th, Nintendo officially announces the Nintendo DS Lite. So again, it's like, how much can you fully believe either side, right? Like, if it's Nintendo, you're gonna say like, hey, this thing doesn't fucking exist. And if you have the scoop, you're gonna put it out when it's gonna hit hard. And the Switch OLED is what probably everyone's Googling now anyways.
Oh yeah.
And then the other thing is, I mean, think about the 3DS. How many revisions to the 3DS are there?
Well, there's the original one, there's the fucking the XL, like you got right here, the XL, then they made the 2DS. And then the 3DS XL again. And then they went
the new 3DS XL. All the news. Yes.
Yeah, all the news. Jesus.
Right. And then they do the new Nintendo 2DS XL, which is just the 3DS XL without the capability to do 3D.
Yeah.
Because no one used that function anyways.
No. Like, you got to admit, though, like when that was introduced, it seemed like a good idea, but not a lot of games used it right.
Did it when our eyes were fucking bleeding because the technology wasn't there for it?
Yeah, you know, virtual reality and
our necks were killing us. Our necks were absolutely slaughtering us.
Dude, like I tried.
You had to hold it a certain way, not move it.
When I was on my Bravely Default run, I every so often I'd be like, hey, let's see what it looks like in 3D, and I'd be like, my eyes.
That's what I'm saying. That shit did not work.
No, it just hurt more than anything.
Like, more than like anything.
That's like the one time I'd believe all the games. I'd be like, you know, don't play too long. You might have seizures, or you might. I'd be like, yeah, you know what? Actually, I believe it.
What about? Do you think Nintendo could take? Because no one's really done this. Somewhat, almost the iPhone kind of model for a Switch. In every couple of years, just upgrade the Switch to be a little bit stronger. And then, like, as newer games come out, it's just like, hey, the first generation Switch can no longer play these games. But that Switch will be, say, 8 years old at that point. So at that, you probably should have upgraded yourself, right?
I really hope they don't want to go that way.
You don't think so?
No, like, I'm saying it's possible they will, but I'm saying I hope they don't. To be honest, though, I'm really not sure how Nintendo can get more creative than the Switch itself.
Right, because the successor at this point, right, it's next year, so fairly soon, it's going to be 5 years old, which is crazy to think.
Hey, no, seriously, where did 5 years go?
But and when it first released, it was already old technology. So now yeah. It's old technology plus 5 years.
True. But like the concept though was cool because like you know it took you know it was like okay I'm gonna have the capability of my Wii U and my 3DS essentially combined into one thing.
Yep. Yeah.
Like the portability of my 3DS and like the functionality of my Wii U. So where do you go from here?
I think you just keep upgrading what you have, right? Like make it stronger.
Yeah, they're just gonna fall into the system of what Sony and Xbox do. But like that's boring because they used to be so good at kicking their asses on two different levels.
But like I don't want anything new. Like I just want it to be better.
I know.
Dude, I like playing it, picking it up and going right to the toilet and still playing it.
If the Switch had the power of either of its competitors, but still could keep that power when it's on the move, it would crush the other two into the dust.
Even when you dock it now, it doesn't get any more power.
No, you know, yeah.
So I would almost, maybe you just upgrade the base.
Yeah.
And when you plug it in, it gets stronger.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's you're right. Like, what the hell do you do?
You guys need some help in the R&D department.
The problem is they know, they just don't care because their games sell regardless.
Yeah.
Now, new Switch, do you think it releases alongside Breath of the Wild 2? Breath of the Wild 2 is slated to release next year. I don't think so.
I don't think it's ready. There's no way.
The Breath of the Wild 2 or the Switch Pro? Which one's not ready?
No, Breath of the Wild 2. It's definitely not ready yet.
You don't think so?
Definitely not yet.
We've gotten so many trailers now.
Yeah, but it's like you say, trailers mean nothing. Show us like...
But it's been over 5 years. It's going to be over 5 years now.
God, that's so weird to think.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's got to be.
Yeah, but we don't... But when did development actually start?
Probably a year after the first one, because they did the DLC.
Yeah.
And that being said, though, when you have a sequel, you're building off the guts of the previous instead of starting from scratch.
True. But we don't know how much they may have had to scrap or they may have had to cut and whatever in the beginning, whatever right. like worked or doesn't work. We don't know how long like pre-production actually right. is.
Well, that's why I'm saying 5 years is way more than enough.
Five fucking years.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's... We've gotten since then, right? Link to the Past.
Dude, we were 21 when that came out.
Came out in 2017.
Holy mother of God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We're brittle old men.
That was the Switch launch game.
No, I know. I just like...
It's kind of depressing when you think of the new console.
We were like 15 when the 3DS came out.
You want to feel old? People started calling the Xbox 360 retro.
Just kill me now. I'm fucking tired of being alive.
All right. Next news story. Sony acquires Bluepoint Games, the studio behind its incredible remasters and remake. This is by Sean Hollister on TheVerge.com. Some of the very best games on PlayStation 5 so far are old titles made new, so it's fitting that Sony's officially acquiring Bluepoint Games, the acclaimed studio that specializes in remasters. It's the team that brought us Demon's Souls and the Shadow of Colossus remake, as well as fantastic remakes of the first three Uncharted games, the cult classic Gravity Rush, and both of the Metal Gear Solid HD Collection, Ico and the Shadow of Colossus Collection. For previous gen consoles, Bluepoint was behind the excellent 2013 port of Flower to the PS4 as well. That's not the only reason Sony's Bluepoint buy isn't surprising, though. The company spilled the beans in June when it bought Returnal developer House Marquee, but it accidentally uploaded an image showing a Bluepoint acquisition instead. That's the thing. We knew this was happening. And yeah. Not only that, this is one of these companies that if they never bought them and did this thing, I would have told you Sony owned them anyways.
Yeah.
I don't remember them making anything but Sony games. And they're remakes of Sony games.
Yeah, so we pretty much know which camp they work for.
Yeah, like fairly well. Sony's under some pressure right now to show that it has killer content for the PS5 since every first-party game it promised to deliver in 2021, save the Great Ratchet and Clank, has been delayed. God of War Ragnar, Gran Turismo 7, Horizon Forbidden West were all originally supposed to release in 2021. But even Horizon recently got pushed back to February. Third-party games have been delayed as well. None of those games were released in 2021. No matter what, those were such lies.
Yeah.
That was one of the biggest lies is you show a splash screen of God of War Ragnarok and say it's coming out the next year. The company's been shoring up its studios to make that happen. In addition to House Marquee and Bluepoint, it purchased Fire Sprite, developers of The Playroom. Sony also recently announced a remake for another acclaimed remastering and porting studio, Star Wars Knights of Old Republic, is in development at Aspyr, perhaps best known for porting countless titles to Mac, but also recently active in bringing older games to the Nintendo Switch. It'll be console exclusive to PS5, as we spotted in May. Uncharted games are coming to PC and PS5 too, with new Uncharted Legacy of Thieves collections that includes both Uncharted 4 and a very good spinoff in The Lost Legacy. Between these and Return to N60... So we know Bluepoint, purchased by Sony, they launched one of the first games on the PS5, which is Demon's Souls.
Yep.
Demon's Souls has now sold 1.4 million, which is pretty damn good for...
Everyone says it's fantastic on the PS5.
Yep.
Like playing it brand new for the first time.
Again, it's one of those Souls games. Bluepoint has shared that they're working on new content and that the game they're working on now is not a remake, which is the first, I don't know how long. I promise you right now, I will put all the chips on the table. They are working on Bloodborne 2.
You really think they're going to make a sequel?
Dude, people love the first one to the point where it's always like, it's like Earthbound 3, where you have to hear it every single one. Where's Bloodborne 2? Where's Bloodborne 2? Where's Bloodborne Remaster? Why isn't there a PS5 patch for Bloodborne? Bring Bloodborne to the PC. You know, it's like, and it's got like a 9 out of 10. You know, like people love this fucking game.
Yeah. Have you ever played any of the Souls games?
I have played Demon's Souls 1. Not Demon's Souls. What's the other one? Dark Souls. Dark Souls 1. I played like 2 hours of it. And I get to a bridge every time, and I finally feel like I'm doing good. And then I actually hit the wrong button. I hit the wrong button, right? And my guy rolls off of the bridge into the water, and it's like, you died, and you start all over. And I was like, I'm not fucking doing this again. There was like these ghost things that kept killing me, and every time I swung at them, I wouldn't hurt them. And someone was telling me I needed to stop like becoming human. I didn't understand a damn thing.
So basically, you could not get good, is what I'm hearing.
Oh, absolutely. Like 100%. Like I played it enough to understand the appeal.
Yes.
And no, this is not for me.
to have fun with my video game.
Well, the problem is it's honest to God, like almost like learning another language as you're playing a video game.
Yes.
Which is like not what I want to do whatsoever. So again, I totally get it. But it's not for me, you know? That being said, I've always been told that the like Bloodborne game is the most accessible of all of them, which is why I think it's so popular.
I can't remember if it's Demon's Souls or if it's Bloodborne, but someone said one of them is like in terms of like just painstakingly crushing your soul, I think one of those is like it's still hard, but it's like the easiest one of
it's Bloodborne.
Bloodborne. It's still a boss you'd fight, you know what I mean, in terms of video game bosses, but it's the first one you'd fight. So, you know, it's the first hump you cross.
Well, again, I think that's why it hit so big, because it was more accessible and people could get into it, you know? Like that's the problem. Like you start almost gatekeeping your own game when you make it too tough.
You know, you play Bloodborne and you're like, oh, okay, I finally understand the math homework. And then you play one of the other ones, you're like, oh, God, it's the math test and none of this is making sense.
Right. It's like Calculus 3 when my professor would be like, yo, take this practice exam. If you can finish this practice exam, you're going to be good. And then I show up the next day and get a 27. And I call my mother. I'm like, hey, I got a 27 on the exam. She's like, that's not bad out of how many? I'm like, out of fucking 100, Mom. Thanks.
I'm one quarter of a genius, Mom.
God of War Ragnarok delay reason surprisingly revealed by Kratos actor. This is by Ollie Jones on GamesRadar.com. Christopher Judge says Ragnarok was delayed because of me. The God of War Ragnarok delay came because of Kratos voice actor Christopher Judge. In a tweet earlier today, Judge said, I need to be forthcoming. Ragnarok was delayed because of me. August 2019, I couldn't walk. Had to have back surgery, both hips replaced, and knee surgery. while Judge claims.
God damn. Fucking cry, baby. Right? Why don't you?
Wow. Yeah. He would kick the shit out of both of us. While Judge claims his surgeries required the game to be pushed from a planned 2021 release until next year, he implies developer Sony Santa Monica was understanding, suggesting that it wait for the actor to undergo rehabilitation after his surgeries, and offered nothing but love and support. And Sony Santa Monica has never said a word about the delay and what caused it. Judge also revealed, however, that he threatened to quit the role when God of War Ragnarok director Corey Barlog told him he wouldn't be returning for the sequel. Barlog, who is currently acting as Sony Santa Monica's creative director, passed the baton onto God of War veteran Eric Williams. While Judge may initially have been skeptical about the change, it now appears that Barlog managed to bring him around, as now describes the new director as a beast. Just hopefully not one of the many beasts we'll be fighting in the game, of course. Ha ha.
Ha ha ha.
Back in June, Sony Santa Monica said that the decision to shift the release to 2022 stemmed from a desire to maintain the safety and well-being of our team, creative partners, and families. Making no specific reference to Judge, shortly after that, Barlog told fans that the decision to delay the game was his alone and that the fans of the series shouldn't be bother the development team over the longer wait. So here's the thing. I don't necessarily know if they delayed it just because of the voice actor, but I bet it was one of the reasons.
Yeah. Like, you know, well, I mean, it's always possible, like, they had to fix a lot of his dialogue or his voice recordings. And, you know, if he can't get there, he can't get there.
I mean, it didn't sound like he even recorded anything for this game yet.
Yeah.
But that I just can't imagine it being like, hey, like, this is a big release and we need this. So, you know what? Screw it, though. And I mean, they have so many recordings of him over three games. Like, I'm sure they could have started with some of it. Or if more than three games, right?
Well, like, if they can do it with Mr. Potato Head in Toy Story 4, we can do it for Kratos in God of War.
Well, I'm sure they could have, you know, moved the voice acting to... Well, I guess they do mocap, so it's not only... I'm thinking of it voice acting only, but he would be doing the physical mocap.
Yeah.
So it, I get... Yes, I could see this actually being a bigger delay than initially. That being said, with COVID, you couldn't come in anyways.
No, that's true. So, I mean, COVID really fucked up everything.
Right, so I think this just double fucks it. So I think him just, like, taking, well, like, you know, taking it on the chin himself is just him being, like, he's trying to be a hero.
You know, like, by the time he probably started to get, like, into therapy, you know, he was starting to move again because it was 2019, 2020 hits, and then COVID hits, and next thing you know, it's 2021.
Right, yeah, no, he's just trying to be a hero now. At this point, he wants the points.
Fucking left.
I flipped. At first, when you were like, what a lazy piece of shit, but I was on his side. Now I flipped. I'm on your side. Yeah, he's just taking extra credit. Now that the game looks good and probably is going to be incredible again.
Guys, I didn't mean to do it.
It was on me.
I'll buy your first copy.
More PS5 news. Sources, Destruction All-Stars Studio Lucid handed Twisted Metal Revival. This is by Andy Robinson on videogameschronicle.com. PlayStation handed its Twisted Metal series revival to Destruction All-Stars developer Lucid Games. Sources have told VGC. According to sources, the new Car Combat installment, which by release will be the series' first in over a decade, has started early development in Liverpool, UK-based studio. One person with knowledge of Lucid's plans suggests that the revival would be built around a free-to-play model, partly in response to Destruction All-Stars' last-minute transition from a premium game to a PlayStation Plus title. Do you know that game, Destruction All-Stars? That's the Sony exclusive.
Like, I... like vaguely remember it, but
it's the car combat.
Yeah,
not... it's just like it's so weird to me that like when they first made that game, you would think that is Twisted Metal, right?
Yeah,
maybe without all the constant killing, that is Twisted Metal, but you need the IP maybe to make it stronger because it's a brand new IP. It's tougher to sell.
Yeah,
except this game still shit the bed. So why do you turn around and say, hey, we'll just make the same game and we'll throw a clown in it and an ice cream truck?
Because they know that Twisted Metal fans want something new related to that series, and this is the way to boost one IP and get they're trying to eat from off both plates, you know what I mean?
Well, the other question I have, right, like honest to God, what is the average age of a Twisted Metal fan?
Dude, like they're our age. Or older.
I think older, dude. I think 32, they're like
33 at this point.
Almost dinosaurs, right? Like dude, it said, the last one came out over a decade. I like the original ones on the original PlayStation, And I think that's when that kind of game model worked the best. But I don't think that kind of...
Those
game mechanics have never evolved since to me.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know what it was about car brawl, like that whole... I never got into it. Like, the only game that me and Dell would play was one of the original Gran Turismo that came out on the PS3. Or like Gran Turismo like 2 or whatever the hell it was. It came out, yep. It was one of the launch ones. That was fun. Because it's like Need for Speed up with machine guns in your car. Like, that was fun.
Oh, no. It was, he always talks about it on the goddamn podcast.
It was Gran Turismo. Yeah, what was
it? No, it was like Death Battle or something stupid.
Son of a bitch.
If you text him right now, he'll know it immediately because he always brings it up. Now, here's an interesting part of this, right? The release is planned to coincide with the upcoming TV series in 2023, we were told. Sony Interactive Entertainment went on record this year that it intends to increase its foothold in the live service games market and free-to-play entry in one of its classic multiplayer franchises would match with these ambitions. Destruction All-Stars released earlier this year to highly critical reviews. It was originally planned as a full-price PS5 launch game, so they were trying to sell it at $70, until Sony delayed its release by 3 months and announced it was going to be free-to-play PlayStation Plus members for 2 months before being sold for $20. So I don't know how you go from, hey, 3 months before launch, we just looked at this game and it's absolute dog shit. So we are going to have to, instead of selling this for $70, give it out for free the first 2 months, hope to God people enjoy it enough to convince their friends later to buy it for $20.
It's a gamble.
And then turn around and say, now give them Twisted Metal and let them work on that.
By the way, Dylan said Full Auto Battle Lines 2. And honestly, I do not remember that being the title at all. But I believe him. Why not?
Are you interested in a Twisted Metal TV show?
In what?
A Twisted Metal TV show?
I don't know. Like, car brawl shit just I don't know.
What if I told you Anthony Mackie was starring in it?
I'd say, God, he's really desperate after the Falcon role, huh?
While we're talking about famous actors playing iconic roles and gaming roles, what do you think about Chris Pratt as Mario?
Okay, I think that whole lineup is going to be interesting. I think Charlie Day as Luigi is fantastic.
It's perfect. It's perfect, is it not? It's like so stupidly perfect that I can't believe I never thought of it.
But here's my problem. Mario does not have enough consistent dialogue across any game to where you couldn't justify it's Chris Pratt being Mario is fine because Mario does not barely
honestly, he's not even gonna be Mario, he's just gonna be Chris Pratt,
but like all he has to do is go Yahoo and it's gonna be the equivalent of what anyone else would do.
Dude, in a movie he's not jumping up and down like he does in the games, it's gonna be such a different vibe.
All he has to do is just do his best fake Italian accent, and literally that's going to be it.
What do you think
all anyone else would ever do.
It's going to be... And then Jack Black as Bowser is so goddamn perfect, too.
They really... Who's playing Peach again? I can't remember.
Anna Taylor-Joy.
Yes! It's going to be a good time. Literally, it does not matter.
You know Bowser's getting a guitar solo and singing at one point. You know it is, with Jack Black playing him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong? Now Donkey Kong's going to be seen as a stoner.
To be honest, I really hope they talk about... they just crack jokes about how Luigi's inferior to Mario, and, Charlie Day, just goes off. They make Luigi, go, crackpot insane like Charlie would do from...
Keegan-Michael Key is Toad.
He's going to be so funny.
All he has to do is complain. He's always in these movies and he's always just complaining about shit, that is his one job, is to just complain about shit.
Mario, you gotta go save the princess. Yeah, I don't know why we let Bowser kidnap her, just fucking go.
Here's the thing, right? When they announced Ben Schwartz as Sonic, everyone lost their mind.
Yeah.
And then it was good. So,
yeah.
Or good enough, right? For a children's movie. And that's what it is. It's a children's movie.
But we're children at heart. And that's the problem.
Actually, I'm glad you're here for this one. Castlevania Reimagining and Metal Gear 3 Remake in the works at Konami report. This is by Stephanie Nononli on VG247.com. Konami is planning to release a new entries and remakes for its largest franchise, which include Castlevania, Metal Gear Solid, according to a new report. According to publishing sources speaking anonymously from VGC, Konami is working to bring the franchise back after a few years of languishing on the back burner. The first one is coming out of the gate is said to be Castlevania game, currently in development internally at Konami. It is a reimagine of the series and will receive support from local external studios. The last new entry in Castlevania series was 2014's Lord of Shadows 2, which starred Gabriel Belmont, now known as Dracula. Word has it at one time there was a remake of Metal Gear Solid in the works at Virtuous, but that didn't seem to be the case as the studio is instead working on a remake of Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater. The project is said to be in early development. Let's see. Virtuous is known for Switch ports of Dark Souls Remastered and Outer Worlds, among others. It also provided support for games such as Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, Battlefield 1, and Horizon Zero Dawn. There are also remasters of the original Metal Gear Solid games for modern consoles in the work, according to the report. As previously reported, there are still multiple Silent Hill games in development with external studios. Rumors from early last year claimed that there were two upcoming Silent Hill games in the works. One was going to be a reboot of the horror franchise, while another title was going to be one in the vein of a canceled Silent Hill game. The last main entry in the series to be released was Silent Hill Downpour in 2012. The report goes on to state Konami plans to reveal its plans at various shows next year. So the last Silent Hill game was 2012. The last Metal Gear game was Metal Gear Survive, which obviously people hated.
Yep.
I couldn't tell you the last Castlevania game. Oh, well, it says it in the report, but 2014.
Yeah.
Dude, Konami's done dick for like a majority of the last like 10 years.
Yeah. I think they were just so caught up with all the bullshit regarding Kojima that like just they weren't even focusing on what they should have been doing.
But Konami does so many other things in Japan. Like,
yeah.
They do the pachinko machines that make them so much, and they do so much other stupid shit. Like,
maybe they were just focusing on like all in like internal stuff that they just kind of neglected all their external stuff. You know what right. I mean?
Yeah, it's also like we're making so much money doing all this other shit. Why the fuck do we care? Right.
So here's my thing. Here's my thing about all of these. Castlevania Reimagining is going to be a good idea. I wonder what
is
that
it a
means.
2D game or do they take one of the originals and make it a 3D game?
But well, here's my like I don't know it depends. Well, it depends on what are they going to release this? Like, I'm assuming it's going to release for the Switch, right?
It doesn't say any. It could be any console. I would imagine you go for the PS5, Xbox Series X. I would just port older games to the Switch, right? Like
as far as I know, most of their 3D games don't do nearly as well as their 2D ones.
Right.
And all of the 2D ones, pretty much since Symphony of the Night, have been Metroid, you know, Metroidvania style. So, like, I mean, honestly, I know seeing as how we're still in the, you know, the Switch store, the Switch, you know, the SNES store, the NES store, and, like, they're doing all those classic ones. Doing a new game, especially, like, an upgraded version of what, the original one could look like.
Yeah.
In a newer 2D or 2.5D style game could be really fucking cool.
Right. No, I agree. I want them to just do like my problem is that they just need to do fucking something because they have so many of these iconic
Metal Gear Solid 3 remake. Bad idea.
Really? You think so? Isn't that like a fan
remaster
favorite?
Is what it should have said.
Okay. You want more than just.
You know what? You know,
because you're worried they're going to change too much, aren't you?
A little bit. Like, dude, 3 is perfect. 3 is absolutely perfect. There is nothing that needs to be changed about 3. 2 could use work if they wanted it. 1 absolutely could use work if they wanted it. Like, I know they did the Twin Snakes edition on the GameCube, but like imagine what that game could look like the way Metal Gear Solid 5 looked. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It could be insane.
I honestly think like they need to start bringing their games over to console, like their older ones to consoles, though. Like,
yeah,
what is taking them so long to port those games and then get people excited? I guess also, like, how do you do a new Metal Gear game without Kojima? Like, are people going to be pissed about that?
Well, all the purists will be, but I'm sure people who are fans of just straight up Konami are going to be like, please feed us. We need something.
Right.
We're hungry. Yeah.
True.
It's Silent Hill. Silent Hill can.
I've never cared about Silent Hill. Silent Hill to me has always been less care of Resident Evil to me. Like, Resident Evil just seems to be, it almost reminds me of like Mario and Luigi. Like, I lied. People tend to love Luigi more than they love Mario. It is like basically the Nintendo to Sega. Like, more.
Yeah, people... so like Resident Evil is like a really good action movie. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, like you care about the characters, but like you're there for the gameplay. And then Silent Hill was all about the in-depth like story around the freaky deaky shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like it kind of depends on what you like. Like, if you like being scared while fighting for your life, or you like just running, you know, just destroying zombies left and right, then Resident Evil was your way to go. But if you like, you know, if you liked being fucked up and critically thinking, then you'd go Silent Hill.
Pyramid Head with aliens. Let's see. This one's for you too. Actually, we got two good stories for you. Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin looks a lot better in TGS trailer coming March 18th. This is by Sharif Saeed in VG247.com. Square Enix's Tokyo Game Show 2021 show just wrapped up. One of the bigger highlights has been a new trailer for Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin. Outside of showing off a new slice of gameplay, the trailer also revealed the game's release date. The Team Ninja developed action RPG arrives March 18th on PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X/S. The game appears much more polished in the new gameplay. Colors in the particular pop more, and the image overall is sharper. Part of it is because one of the new areas shown is inspired by Sunlith Waterscape from Final Fantasy 13, but you can definitely see a big boost in characters and environmental detail. To help convince you of these upgrades, Square Enix is launching another trial demo for Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origin on PS5 and Xbox Series X. The new demo unlocks multiplayer for the first time and includes a new area, the Renfren Wetlands. You'll also have access to new jobs, which should make combat more interesting. There's a new friendly NPC you can bring along too. The best part is that the demo is available now until October 11th, so get to downloading. If you're curious about how the game has changed in recent months, look no further than Alex's brand new Stranger. All right, so this game was kind of like the laughing stock when it was revealed, and yes, then people got the actual demo and kind of liked it. No, they kind of liked it.
Well, like the people who got to play it could liked it.
And oh yeah, it was an issue to download it, right?
Like, people download it and then it just didn't work.
There's nothing wrong with that, all right? Maybe that, like, was the demo. Part of the experience.
Just a loading screen. But, like, yeah, and then, like once people actually got to play, they were like, oh, this is all right. But a lot of people said, like, it was just all right. Like, and because people wanted... Because, like, people were waiting for Final Fantasy 16 news.
Yep.
Or 13 remaster. People really want the 13 remaster. And honestly, I'm one of those people now.
Well, I almost, like, either want 13 remaster or just put 13 out again.
Yeah, dude, 13 never made it past Xbox 360 and PS3.
The only reason I want 13 out is so I don't have to hear anyone complain that 13 isn't out. Like, I have no connection to that whatsoever.
Well, think about it, though. Like, you know, we'll make a bajillion different versions of Final Fantasy VII, but yet we just won't put 13 on modern console.
Well, I guess that's the other thing is, you go to this Tokyo Game Show and you show off this game instead of, say, what's Final Fantasy 16, like you said, or Final Fantasy 7 Remake Part 2.
Yes.
When do you show more of that? And Final Fantasy 16 is supposed to be, from my understanding, a 2022 game.
I don't know, man.
And Square Enix already has this coming out in March. They have that Forspoken.
Yeah.
That's coming out soon. I understand Square Enix is massive, but they have so many games coming out next year that I don't understand where they're going to have room for Final Fantasy 16. I'm not even sure if they've started development on
Final Fantasy 7. It's like you said, you say 2022, but it's probably going to be 2023.
Right. It's one of those things they do for sales, right? Like,
I'm going to assume that Part 2 is going to come out before 16.
Part 2... No shot.
I don't know, man. Well, think about it. It's like you said. It's like you said before. You know, they're already they don't have to build it completely from scratch. Whereas in 16, they are.
But they kind of do because it's a whole new console.
True.
You know.
Yeah. But it's already part one's already been ported over to the PS5.
It's been ported over and it has new content. Agreed. But it still took them over a year to do that, so they didn't even start part two yet. If they were working on bringing that over, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's so
much.
They got their eggs in so many baskets.
But dude, it's all part of the plan. We trust in Nomura. We trust. Okay.
Well, the other issue, like we've seen 16, right? We've seen 16 multiple times.
Yes.
They haven't showed us a licking of 7 part two or whatever the hell. That's why there's no shot that comes before 16.
But think about it, dude. Like they showed us the movie for part one, and that was 8 years ago.
exactly. So
it's all part of the plan. Yeah,
I'm not a fan of this plan. I'm gonna be so real with you.
Yeah, neither am I, dude. Neither is anyone who's a fan of Square Enix.
We hate ourselves for it.
They have our hands so far up our ass, and there's nothing we can do about it.
And then last news story of the week, Tales of Arise gets collaboration event with Sword Art Online. This is by Barth Bargeria on GameRant.com. I definitely butchered that name. Tales of Arise has been a critical as well as a commercial success, having shipped over 1 million copies in under a week. It also managed to set a new record for concurrent players on Steam for the entire Tales of series. Now Bandai Namco Entertainment has announced a crossover DLC that will be adding 2 popular anime characters as a boss fight in Tales of Arise. Cameo battles in the Tales of series mainly consist of boss fights against characters from previous games. This fight also generally includes music from that particular title, adding to the fan service, and usually unlocks as a side quest after players have beaten the main story. Such battles are already present in Tales of Arise. Judging by this new announcement, fans can expect more surprise guests in the future. Bandai Namco Entertainment has just announced that Sword Art Online Collaboration Pack will be coming to Tales of Arise on October 7th. This DLC adds a fight against Kirito and Asuna from Sword Art Online. And also,
well, guess what? People are fucked. I can tell you that much.
Well,
Kirito is a beater.
And also includes some other bonuses. Players can unlock new outfits for Alfin, Shioni, and Law, in addition to getting Kirito's weapons. A new Mystic Art will also be added to the game. A video accompanies this announcement with gameplay footage from the fight. As seen in the beginning of the trailer, both Kirito and Asuna are level 98, and fans can expect this to be the hardest fight in the entire game. Thankfully, Tales of Arise gives players some unique artifacts that may be used to gain an advantage in this battle. All the new animation moves look spectacular, and the video serves as a great example of the quality of the visual effects from Tales of Arise. It ends with showcasing the new Mystic Art that features Alfin, Kirito, and Asuna. Mystic Arts and Tales of Arise can only be executed by going into Overlimit. It will be interesting to see if the new art is difficult to execute, as the second Mystic Art requires players to use a combo of 5 different moves, holding down 2 buttons immediately afterwards. All right, so I don't know if you've seen this announcement, if you've seen the gameplay trailer from it. This fucking just crossover event looks way better than any of the goddamn Sword Art Online games we've ever gotten. This is the best Kirito and Asuna have looked in any game, and they look badass because the Tales of Arise combat is way better than any of the combat systems in the
Tales series art is always fantastic, which means they're gonna look great no matter what.
And they almost look like they belong in it. Like, it's so annoying. Like, how
I was literally just thinking that, like, there's something about like their anime style that actually blends perfectly within Tales.
Well, even this Tales of Arise game, which I've heard is incredible.
Yes.
The more anime like cel shaded art style they went with on it looks fantastic, to the point where it almost just looks like an anime.
Well, dude, I mean, pretty much all of Tales games look like an anime to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And how crazy.
Vesperia looked completely anime.
Yes, I mean the cutscenes for sure, right?
But even. I was gonna say, but like even the rest of the game looked. I don't know, man. I just hope that they don't let Kirito's plot armor make him invincible to beat, because
I'm sure he's just gonna be like a hard boss that I'm like, within an hour, there's gonna be so many YouTube tutorials on how to fucking beat this guy.
I wouldn't be surprised though, like on the first time though, like once, like once you get his HP to zero, he gets like he gets like an automatic like, you know, like 10% of his health comes back just because that's what he fucking does in the show every time he's almost dead.
Oh, you know what I promise you is gonna happen? Is the whole fight is gonna be a misunderstanding, and at the end of it, I swear to God, I'm gonna put the chips on the table, right? The whole fight is gonna be a misunderstanding, and the main character and Kirito are friends by the end of the.
I bet if you kill Asuna first, like you're like, oh, I'm gonna take her out first. Then Kirito gets like a times two strength, HP, defense, speed stat boost, and you're gonna be fucked.
Oh yeah, But again, this fight, like it said, they're already level 98. Who knows if that's just a joke to go with the whole sort of online kind of mythology?
Yeah.
Or if they are supposed to be like an end game, super incredible, like, hard challenge.
They never talked about, I think, what levels they were in the show. So like 98 would make sense because like Kirito was like, I grind every minute of every day.
I forgot which sort of online game it was I played, but they start you at level 100. They start you at level 100, which is basically zero, because level 200 was the highest.
Yeah.
So it's just to make it seem like you are strong before you start the game.
And then you realize you're not.
Yeah, again, and you start on, like, floor 50, too.
Yeah, so, like, you're getting your ass clapped.
Right. Honestly, you're getting your ass clapped, and you're like, "What? I'm a level 100. Like, this doesn't make fucking sense.
This shouldn't be the level. You think you're level 101, you're like, oh, fuck."
Makes no goddamn sense. All right, and that's the last news story of the week. TA, where can people find you?
On Twitter, at AHN Podcast TA. AHN Podcast TA. I can't remember if I...
Do you have an underscore?
I don't remember. No. Oh, let me check.
You don't even know your own Twitter.
Yeah, no. AHN Podcast, yeah, that's what it is. It's still the same thing. I couldn't remember if I changed it or not. I was thinking about it, but then...
And then you can find me on Twitter at AHN _gags. TA, thanks for coming on. I'm sure you'll be on again.
Oh, yeah.